What's up, everybody? We're here in the Sponsors Corner, and we're here to talk to you about
Through the Lens Films. So it's throughthelensfilms.com and our good friends at Phantom Imaging, phantomimaging.net, for your best video needs.
And we're also here to talk to you about Sprinkles and More.
Sprinkles.
Check out their website, www.sprinklesandmore.com, and also check out their Instagram, Sprinkles and More, for all the latest and greatest cakes.
Let's hit up the intro. Let's do it.
Absolutely. What's up, everybody? Ho! You're listening to Talk of the Game, and I know you're thinking, we are back. Finally, after 2 long weeks of not being able to record, we're back.
And you are.
I'm Matt.
And I am Stefano, and we seem a little down. There's a reason why we're down. And it's not the fact that we've been gone for 2 weeks, because that is saddening to us, because we love doing the show.
Yep.
But we're going to say something that is going to be a surprise to a lot of people, because we have been on fire with Talk of the Game, but
it's coming to an end. All good things,
yes,
one day must all come to an end,
now,
unfortunately.
For everyone who's been following us, like, Talk of the Game is very close to hitting 100 episodes, okay? And we've had about, what, is it a year and a couple of months of Talk of the Game?
Yeah.
Okay.
So about a year and a month. We started in February, I think third week of February last year.
So we've been ripping it up on Podomatic. But, you know, our schedules are really, really conflicting right now. And we're finding it really hard to do the podcasting as often as we would like. And it's not fair for you guys.
That, and especially with sports, it's something that it needs to be talked about weekly, because you miss a week and everything's
really
changed.
Like, when you hear this episode, you know, you're going to say, well, a lot of this stuff happened a while ago. So this is our prelude to farewell. We're going to have a nice farewell bash. Our next episode will be the last one, and we're going to do it at a bar. And we're going to have, hopefully some of our guests, like Andrew, might join us, and all of our recent guests. So, you know, we hate to do it, because I love talking about sports. I love doing anything with you, right?
Yeah, it's a blast.
Like, for anyone else that knows that, we also run the show on the Everything and Nothing show.
Yeah.
And that is still in full power.
Yes.
Because we can maneuver around that schedule. However, as Matt said, sports is very difficult if you miss a week.
Yeah, exactly. So, just a heads up, keep your ears and eyes open on our Twitter feed, which is Talk of the Game 2.
Yeah, Talk of the Game T-O.
Yeah, T-O. Yeah. And you can also find us on Podomatic, talkofthegame.podomatic.com. If you have an app, the Podomatic app, you can find us on that.
iTunes,
we're there. So keep an ear and eye out for that. We'll be posting more details about the final episode, when we're going to be able to get together and finally do it. Like you were saying, schedules are a little hectic right now, but that being said, the Everything and Nothing show will continue. And
definitely.
That, you can follow us on Twitter there at ENS Podcast.
Yep.
And you can also listen to us on Podbean. They're our hosting website for that podcast,
which is the Everything and Nothing show. podbean.com.
Yes.
And then, of course, email, guys, straight across the board, talkthegame@gmail.com and theeverythingandnothingshow@gmail.com. So hit us up. Tell us if you love us. Tell us if you hate us. You know, we don't mean to do it. We love Talk the Game, but unfortunately, we just can't run two podcasts at one time. And with sports being the way that they are, you know,
It's a current event. That's something, right? Like, sports is an everyday thing. So if you miss a week, it's so hard to talk about it, because a lot of our show is just recapping kind of what happened and giving our opinion on it.
Exactly. But, so, you know, again, this is not a farewell forever. You never know down the road. We might start it back up in the summer. Who knows,
yeah,
right?
Even if this, like, the weeks work out well and we're able to meet up, if things kind of slow down a bit, even on the Everything and Nothing show, we can talk sports in episode.
Big time.
And you can find it there. So you're going to get more of us still. You're not losing us. We're still going to be around, and we're still going to be doing our thing.
It's just we just can't juggle Talk of the Game right now. But with that being said, we're definitely going to pump out a wicked show today. Mm-hmm. And the momentum is very hot today, because we are powered by Skittles.
Yes, we're chewing down some Skittles. Great candy.
It's
so good. You know who endorsed this? Marshawn Lynch. He's a big Skittles guy.
Is he?
He's a massive Skittles
guy. I had no idea.
Like, there was a thing of him bench pressing or, like, deadlifting weights filled with Skittles.
So he's actually, like, an ambassador for Skittles?
Pretty much. He eats so much Skittles, it's insane.
Do, like, they pay him for that?
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if Skittles,
because you saw it on TV.
Yeah. But I'm sure Skittles, he has a deal worked out, or he just makes enough money, he doesn't really have to worry about Skittles ever again.
Who makes Skittles? Is it Wonka?
No. No, it's not Wonka. It's
Cadbury? Probably,
no, maybe Maynard's? I don't know.
I'm going to check it out right now in the bag. But yeah. Let's start it off.
Yeah, so big news, sort of confusing news more, to say the least. Dennis Weidman, suspension is reduced to 10 games, but he has already served 19 games. So, I don't really get that.
I don't get it either, but one thing I have to tell you is Wrigley actually makes it.
There you go.
I Wrigley. Would have never known that in a million years.
Yeah, Wrigley Field, the Chicago Cubs.
No, Wrigley Gum, bubbly. No, with the Chicago, okay. So, we were just talking about this off air. This has to be ridiculous.
I don't get it. It says, when I was reading the article, he served 19 games of a 20-game suspension. It's finally got reduced to 10. The only thing I can think of is if anything were to happen again with discipline, they'd account that he's only been suspended 10 games instead of 20 games.
Madness. Who's to blame for this ridiculously stupid suspension?
Maybe they'll give him, they'll put that those 20 games, they'll reimburse him the 10 games that he missed, that he could have played, and give him a point in each game. Just to, pat him on the back.
This is NHL for you, man.
Yeah, they're great. They're really good with some things, and then they're really dumb with other things.
Then they just jump right off a cliff.
For instance, I totally forgot this was news, but the NHL announced that next year Toronto is going to be hosting the first ever centennial game.
Oh.
Because it's their centennial year. It's their 100th year as a franchise.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, okay. So they're going to be hosting the Detroit Red Wings on January 1st at BMO Field.
Good stuff.
Yeah, great. It's a great thing. Here's the thing. The Winter Classic, which was always played on January 1st, has now been switched to January 2nd.
Uh-huh.
Why don't you just get rid of one of them being the Winter Classic?
Because they make money off of it.
They don't, though. They make some money, but the ratings have been dropping. So, Chicago Blackhawks are going to be in the against St. Louis in St. Louis. They're going to be the Winter Classic. Then you have the Heritage Classic with Winnipeg and Edmonton in Winnipeg, which is outdoors. And then you'll have another two, I think, this part of the Stadium Series. And at some point,
too much.
Yeah, you're oversaturating something you had. Like the Winter Classic when it was first introduced was a great idea. Kind of bring the game outside. And it back to its original elements, celebrate a day. Mm-hmm. And it was a tradition. Like we talked about before, basketball is Christmas Day, NFL is Thanksgiving, NHL is New Year's Day.
Mm-hmm.
But now, it's just a joke. Like, why have both one day and the other day? Why not do a day event? So why not do the centennial game at night, and that be the big game, because it's two original six teams, and it's 100th year anniversary, and then during the day, early morning, do the Winter Classic and have a day event. Why have two separate days?
I have no idea.
But you get what I'm saying?
No, of course, definitely.
It would make more sense all in one day.
Do you think that they're going to really give it to us in our butts for the price of the tickets to go see Toronto for their 100th game?
Yeah, 100%. I'm going to go.
You are going to
I'm going to go. I'm going to have it. My buddy's going to...
You have any idea how much it is?
No, not yet. But Taylor and I were talking about him coming
Taylor!
Down,
yeah,
nice. Coming down to watch it. But again, it's just, I don't know. It makes no sense to me from the NHL standpoint.
Okay. Well, anyway.
Well, fan standpoint. The NHL, they probably see value in it, but...
They see dollar signs, right? I mean, that's what it is, right? At the end of the day, it's all money.
Apparently.
Money, money, money. So, PK Subban suffers neck injury on scary collision with teammate. He was taken to the hospital, but seems to be doing much better. He's out of their game Saturday.
Yeah.
It was one of those freak accidents.
Yeah, it just collided.
Unfortunately, he landed on his neck, which is never good.
Yeah, but I like he responded. Too. Yeah, I do too. He responded on Twitter. I feel bad for him. He's not having a good year.
No.
Well, Montreal in general is just not.
Well, and thank you, Carey Price.
Yes, and everything from there seems to be spiraling downwards, which is unfortunate. But there's always next year. I guess they can accept the Toronto mantra.
Is it official? Is Toronto in last?
Yeah,
are they tied with Edmonton or something?
Yeah, they're tied with Edmonton and Columbus in last place.
Well, it's scary how Toronto's supposed to be dead last and have a really good shot the first round, but you never know.
Oh, no. Well, no. They changed the draft lottery odds, right? Every team now has a better chance.
Exactly.
So there isn't a for sure chance that Toronto might even finish second. And with our luck, we'll probably finish third or fourth.
All right, go for it.
Canadians head coach says Price isn't ready yet. although he has practiced with equipment.
The season's almost done.
No, he's not coming back.
So then what? For the year. Why the hell would they want to even try him? Just rest the guy, make him train like a beast, and then come back next year and demolish everyone.
Because there's so much mystery behind his injury. Because what happened was when he got hurt with the knee, they didn't really say what it was. Okay. They didn't come out and say it's... He just said he has a lower body injury. It's his knee. And that's it. They left it very hush-hush. That creates questions.
So what is it exactly?
There, no one really knows. He says they said he didn't need surgery. So he's been doing physio and rehab to try and strengthen it again. But I think it was a lot worse than they let on. And with a knee, you shut it down for the year. If it's causing this many problems, I think you just shut it down.
How many games has it been out?
Almost the whole season.
Yeah. So it has to be something pretty epic, right?
Yeah, it's fairly bad. If in order for him to miss that many games, you have to think it's not...
Are they even in contention maybe to make the...
No, not anymore.
Not even close, right?
I think they dropped out of the playoff spot.
Okay.
Yeah.
So speaking of surprise anyway... Oilers reactive. What is that? What am I reading here? Read that line.
Oilers IR.
What is this?
Reactivate
what?
Nugent Hopkins off the injured reserve and reunite Connor McDavid with Taylor Hall. So Nugent Hopkins was injured. He was sitting on IR.
Oh, okay. Couldn't play. I see what you're going. Oh, so they brought him back up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, Connor McDavid, I don't know if you really know. Well, obviously, you know, but. The numbers he's putting up, even though he was hurt, are ridiculous. If he didn't get hurt this year, it could have been like the best rookie year in NHL history.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is...
Points per game, he's better than Panarin, who's leading all rookies in scoring.
Exactly. Now, my question to you, before we go any further, do you think McDavid, if he's not injured next year, he's going to be like one of those Mary Lemieux, Wayne Gretzky kind of guys?
I think so. But there's always the sophomore slump, right? Second year in the league, they slow down a little. But
it's just he got injured the first year, and it wasn't exactly a small one. So it makes me think, I don't know, is he fragile like Gretzky was?
Well, Gretzky wasn't fragile because Gretzky never got touched.
You know, but when he did, he was like...
He didn't miss a lot of games, Gretzky. P.K. Subban, or not P.K., I don't know why I said that. McDavid is an all-world talent. You have to, everything's pointing to the fact that when this guy has a full season under his belt, he's going to hit 100, 110 points.
Really?
Everything's pointing that way.
How many points is he at now?
I'm not sure 60? Exactly. Close to. Mm-hmm. No, I don't know. We'll take a look and get back to it.
Taylor Hall is ridiculous good, though.
Mm-hmm.
I like
him
a lot. How old is he? Like 23 or something?
Yeah, he's pretty young.
Good for him. All right, Cavs beat Lakers, but Kobe outscores LeBron in last meeting between the two basketball icons.
Yeah.
Let me say something. LeBron James, in his own right, he's a superstar.
Yeah.
But what I've heard through the news outlets that I use, LeBron James is quite the diva on whichever team he goes to. He's like, if he says, you know, I don't like him, fire him, they fire him.
Well, that's a lot of reports. There's a lot of contradicting reports. Some say that, some say otherwise. The thing with LeBron is he doesn't like confrontation. And if you really pay attention to it, like Kobe, you could see he's that selfish, I want the ball type player. Where Michael Jordan... Yeah, he is. He's like Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan wanted it. Yeah,
and he's the same way. That's what makes him so special.
Okay. It makes him special to be a hog?
Yes, because he creates that friction in the team where he demands the ball, I got to be the guy. And
but I don't think that's very, very good. I don't think that's a very... No,
it's hard to say otherwise when the guy has 5 championship rings, right? Like, LeBron's great, and I love LeBron, and there's a lot of points or a lot of signs pointing to that.
Okay.
He's a diva, but it's all speculation. There's no one that's ever come out and had said, yes, that is the case.
Okay.
It's all hearsay.
Fair enough.
Both are amazing, though.
Of course.
So McDavid's played 33 games and has 35 points.
What point a game?
Just about.
That's pretty epic, man.
Yeah, man, it's incredible.
So then he was going to be on pace for like 83 points.
Yeah.
But a person of his caliber, 100 points is not very hard to get.
Yep, absolutely. Browns part ways with Johnny Manziel. Yeah, he's no longer a Brown.
I don't like the Browns.
I don't like Manziel.
Really? Why?
He's an arrogant kid who hasn't proven anything. And he has some issues. He has underlying, like, there's issues there. He's has an addiction to partying or drinking or something.
Oh, yeah,
like,
we talked about this, yeah.
Something isn't right, and it's unfortunate, and he needs to get help to do something, because there's a lot of talent there, and the world could be his if he just realizes it.
You and I had a conversation about this, especially with the NFL. The NFL is like a religion in the United States. Why would you do that? Why would you go partying? Why would you do drugs? Why,
can't help it.
For God's sakes, man. You're like a god in your own, you know, respective state. I don't know. Mental. Broncos acquire Sanchez from Eagles.
Mark Sanchez, yeah.
It's going to be... I can't wait for next season.
Yeah, Brock Oswald left Denver. And now they have Mark Sanchez.
Very good. Broncos, man. And
Peyton Mark Sanchez is terrible, though. He's terrible. He's 100% terrible.
I don't think so.
He's bad, man. He's really bad.
So then why did they make the trade? I think he's not bad.
On the Eagles were on a good day. His good days are very few and far between. Anyone's good on a good day. The problem is, how is he on a bad day?
He's bad.
On a regular day, he's not very good. Put it that way.
All right. Now, speaking of, we knew this was coming.
Yes.
Right after the Super Bowl. Come on. Like, it's, if you don't, you're literally, you know. Manning calls it a career after finally retiring.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Won the Super Bowl. He has everything going for him. He's a legend. To not call retiring right now would literally just promote you to F up.
Yeah.
And ruin the legacy.
Yeah, no, he's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. I wouldn't say
if not the greatest.
Yeah, like it's except debatable. For Joe Montana, right? It's debatable. Him, like there's him.
Dan Marino.
Well, Dan Marino never won a Super Bowl, but he was a great quarterback. Yeah. He was. Dan Marino, we'll throw him in there. Why not? Dan Marino.
Brady.
Brady, Manning, Joe Montana.
Joe Montana is arguably the best.
John Elway.
John Elway.
Right, like these guys are legends.
I think Terry Joe Montana Bradshaw. Is probably. Terry Bradshaw was never a quarterback.
No, you're right. Who am I thinking?
There's a lot of very good quarterbacks, but we're talking about legends here.
Yes.
Joe Montana is probably number one.
Well, everything says that because, you know, 4 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
4 for 4 in the Super Bowl.
Keep in mind, Brady, though, he's still playing. And I'm sure now that Manning's out of the system.
Yeah, no, Terry Bradshaw is a quarterback. He won 4 Super Bowls.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He was a quarterback?
Yeah. As an analyst.
Okay.
So, good for Terry Bradshaw.
I like him. He's a good guy.
Yeah, Peyton Manning retiring, you're going to see him get into some sort of sports role. Like, if it's management, if it's coaching.
It probably will be.
He'll be involved.
He's a man with his, like, everyone knows that he's a very smart quarterback. He plans it out. For him to not contribute to other teams and their coaching systems would be a shame. Yeah. So, of course, he's not going to leave the NFL.
Bingo.
Alright. Next.
Mark Crawford, if anyone remembers him, is ready to return to North America to coach again after coaching in Europe for several years.
I remember he
won the Stanley Cup with the Colorado Avalanche.
Okay.
Way back when.
Yeah.
Coached Vancouver, I believe.
So he's a bit there. He's a relatively decent coach?
Yeah, he was a good coach.
So why is he coming back after so many years in and around Europe?
Yeah, he got a job in Europe. There was a while there where just things weren't working for him in North America in the NHL, so went over to Europe, coached in Europe, did his thing there, and he's ready to come back. He wants to come home and do whatever it is that he will
probably finish up.
Yeah, exactly. Like Iron Mike Keenan, remember him?
Mm-hmm.
He's coaching in Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's coaching in
Russia.
I like
him. He's a good guy. All right, Jagr has 50 points again. So good, man.
Yeah.
And has passed Gordie Howe for third all-time points in the NHL. I have said it since day one. Jaromír Jagr is probably one of the greatest players that ever graced the NHL.
Well, he's pure legend.
He is, because when he was alongside the Mario Lemieux era, there was no stopping these two. They were just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And now the fact that how old is Jagr? He's like in his early 40s for sure.
Yeah.
So, like okay.
43 or something.
43, and he's doing 50 points?
Yep.
How are you even doing that?
Smart, man.
Well, keep in mind, everyone says that he's like the hardest trained player, right? He's still training when everyone leaves.
Well, that's just it, right? He's worked so hard to perfect his craft. Mm-hmm. And now everything to him is just memory. It's just, it comes down to muscle memory. He knows where to go, what to do. Mm-hmm. Just very smart.
Was he in the All-Star game?
Yeah. Yeah, he was in the All-Star game.
Does he look like he's 43 against all the other young guys?
You can tell he's older. He's a pretty grizzly veteran, to say the least.
Does Timo Solani still play?
No, he retired. But Jágr doesn't look out of place. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't...
He doesn't look, like, extremely slow.
Yeah, it doesn't look...
If he's doing 50 points, yeah, he can't be that slow.
Exactly.
Plus, in his day, Jaromír Jágr was one of the fastest NHL players. He was a speed skater, sure he was.
In his day, Jágr was everything.
Okay.
Bosch eyes return to lineup since being cleared of blood clots, but there's no timetable for his return.
He's in big trouble.
Yeah, if it's his second time, if anyone remembers, he was bowed out from the All-Star Game in Toronto.
Yep.
Good to hear that they're gone and that's not an issue, but you saw what happened to Pascal Dupuis from the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah.
It was an issue with him.
And it
might be a reoccurring issue that might force him to kind of leave the sport.
Unfortunately.
And you have to reinvent himself in a way of being a broadcaster or something, because he's still very young. He's still very...
That's the problem, though. He's still very young, so for him to be a broadcaster right now, it really wouldn't make any sense.
It'll work, man.
But he's so young, right? I guess. I don't know. Agree to disagree, kind of. Mm-hmm. Raptors backcourt proves to be better, and the Raptors beat the Hawks and keep them less than 100 points. Let me tell you something about the Raptors. You and I talked about it quite a bit. The Raptors have a problem with when they do make the playoffs, they choke. Now, I'll be honest with you, and I'm going to be not being biased because I'm from Toronto. The Raptors are very good. Now, everything points to them doing very well in this year's playoffs. What do you think could be the one downfall that they're going to have?
Raptors?
Maybe being paired up with the wrong team.
If they're paired up with the Bulls, they're going to run into issues.
Who do you think is the one that's going to help them go past the first round?
I think they match up well against most teams, but playoff basketball is different. The issue last year was Kyle Lowry completely disappeared. The team just had no defense. They really fixed their team this year. Corey Joseph has been unbelievable defensively. You got Bismack Biyombo, who's averaging about 2 blocks a game. Damari Carroll isn't even playing right now, and he's injured, and he's going to be coming back. So you have to figure having these additions might help shape up your team. And I think from what we see, the Raptors are finally starting to play Dwayne Casey basketball, being good defensively. They're great when they have teams under 100 points. They did it to Atlanta. There was a little concern because they had a pretty rough game against Brooklyn. They lost to Houston. And everyone is starting to wonder if they're falling from the same fatigue. Because in and around this time last year, this is when it started going into the playoffs. And we all remember how that went down. Hopefully, this year's different. And you won't know till we're in that situation. Because we can be saying they're a different team with all the additions that they have. And they're playing much better basketball. But come playoff time, if that doesn't transfer over, it's... What good is it? You got to remember, it's a different season. Being successful in the regular season is one thing. Being good in the playoffs is a whole different thing. It's a different game. It's a different style.
Yeah, for sure.
So they have to be able to adapt to that. And if they can, and they can get over the first round, because a lot of times in sports, the first round's always the hardest.
For sure.
That in the final. Like, it's a grueling thing. It's just, it's such a different experience. And even in the NHL, like the NHL is a perfect example. The first round of the NHL playoffs is the most crazy, chaotic thing. And after that, everyone settles down.
Exactly.
And I think it's with that with most sports. The first rounds, it's just a weird, weird
situation. But not for all teams. See, before we get into the next point, which is going to probably lead into what I'm saying now, there are teams, though, that they have the playoff experience, that they don't get those jitters, and that's why they're favorites going into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for anyone that knows Chicago usually always has a rocky start to playoffs. But once they get the ball going, they're lethal. However, if you put teams like, for example, San Antonio, it's like almost a for sure shot that they'll pass the first round because of the record.
Well, it's not record with San Antonio.
No, experience. I mean playoff record.
Yeah.
But they're very good.
Oh, absolutely. But they have that experience, right? Like, the Raptors don't have that experience.
No. I think they made the playoffs, what, 5 times or 6 times, something like that.
Who?
The Raptors.
Oh, yeah. They've never been out of the first round in the playoffs.
No. Right? I think they did when the Tracy McGrady Carter thing. They made it to the second round.
I thought they lost to
Orlando.
Didn't they lose to the Sixers when Vince Carter in the last minute, the game threw up the three and he missed it last seconds? They would have won. That the first game seven? Yeah, it was the first round. I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong. I'm going off the top of my head here, but
all right. But
the Raptors, like we said, they're infants when it comes to playoffs. They've been 2 years in a row now, and they bowed out in the first round. So it's tough to say, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens and where it goes.
Now, see, with that being said, we have to get into this. We can say this team has a good chance, but in order to be good, you have to beat arguably the best team ever. And the Golden State Warriors now are about to extend their home game winning streak to 46. Warriors also continue to dominate the NBA. 46-0.
Yeah.
How?
Well, that's home winning streak.
Yeah, home winning streak. How do you do that? Like, that is, it blows my mind completely. You're telling me that this team cannot lose at home. So what's going to happen in the playoffs? It's a given.
Well, yeah, home court advantage helps. I should say, man, Golden State is the team right now, man. Like,
there are. Do you see anyone beating them? Honestly,
I don't know. It's hard to say.
The only team I thought had maybe their number was San Antonio, but they spanked them something silly last game.
Yeah, well, again, playoffs. San Antonio will be a different machine. It's gonna be interesting to see what happens. Like, Golden State's very good, and if they win the whole thing and they beat the Bulls records, this can literally go down as the greatest team ever.
And we're living record. In it. So that's pretty cool, right?
Well, I should say, like, Steph Curry's doing ridiculous things. Like, the game against OKC a week or two back, the game was in dying seconds and it was in overtime, and all they had a timeout still, and all they needed was a two-pointer, just a regular bucket, just to be able to see the game through, go into double OT. What does Steph Curry do? He runs up and just throws a bomb from almost half court, and it goes in, and they win the game. Like, he could have just called the timeout, ran a play off an inbound, up closer to the basket in OKZ's end, and instead he just shoots a three. And any other player that did that would be crucified. But because they had the timeout, they had everything moving forward.
So why wouldn't they? Like, I know he's good, but why wouldn't they do the logical timeout? I'm curious.
Because Steph Curry.
It was a Hail Mary, though.
Steph Curry, but for him, it's not, because he's shooting better from 35 yards or feet out than any player in the NBA.
Now, in history, because you made a comment a few episodes back, I heard it the other day, that you said he may actually have a better 3-point record than Larry Bird.
He does.
For sure he does, because, you know, look at stats. So literally, if you're telling me he shot from half, the only person they say that had that kind of an ego to get drain 3-pointers from that range was Steve Nash.
Yeah.
Now, Steve Nash was also, in his respected rights, an incredible 3-point shooter. But he's no Stephen Curry.
No, Stephen Curry broke the record.
Which he had.
Yeah, he broke the record originally for most 3-pointers in a single season. He broke his own record.
No, and he also owns the record, the best 3-point average per game. It's so ridiculous.
So put it this way. Steph Curry is putting up the most proficient season in NBA history.
Yep. That's ridiculous.
Second to him is Wilt Chamberlain.
Which Wilt Chamberlain has second, third, and fourth or something.
Yeah, like second, third, and then Michael Jordan's in there.
Yeah.
Curry's doing better than all of them right now. That's incredible. How proficient he is. He's unbelievable close and attacking the rim. He's great from distance. The thing with Golden State is they also have Klay Thompson. Yeah, they have Draymond Green, who's been very good.
Yeah.
Bogart's not terrible.
He has very good helpers.
Oh, absolutely.
That's why Steph Curry does so well.
They're a great team around him. And the problem with it, you're always catching gold. You're trying to catch up to them because it's so hard to stop them from scoring.
Exactly.
Three-pointers. So you're always catching up.
So this is why I still think LeBron James is better. Because LeBron James doesn't have the assistants like Steph Curry has on his team.
Yeah, he does, man.
Not
Iman Shumpert, Kevin Love, Tristan Thompson, J.R. Smith.
I think on any given Sunday, the Warriors would beat them. What's their record for their clashes?
Right now, Golden State's beat them both times. Or if they only played once, they beat them the first time.
Only once? Is it possible after so many games?
Yeah, it's either... They hold the record. Like, Cleveland, they haven't lost to Cleveland. They've lost to Portland, they've lost to Milwaukee.
They only lost 5 games, right?
Yeah, they've lost to the Lakers. Neither just... It's insane, man. Like, and San Antonio's not that far behind them. That's the scary part.
No. All right, so... This is, San Antonio's amazing. Yeah. Now, this is hilarious. I don't know how to take it. Let's discuss this.
Yeah.
Obama, He makes fun at Canadian Prime Minister over hockey and the lack of championships Canadian teams have won. Now, there's a lot of truth to it. But with all due respect, how many American teams are there and how many Canadian teams are there? Now, if we had a half-half kind of deal, then the odds would be different.
You got, okay, so here's the thing. There's seven Canadian teams, the rest of the league's American teams.
Yeah.
Most of the players in the league are Canadian.
Yeah.
So Canadians are winning the cup, just four American teams.
So what's Obama saying?
He's just saying Canada, no Canadian teams won the cup in so long. And Trudeau is like, fired back and was like, we provide you the players so you can win your cup.
That's true.
Right?
Patrick Kane, Canadian.
American.
Who's American?
Who's American? But Taves, Keith, Seabrook, Crawford.
Crosby.
McDavid.
McDavid. All right. Well, eat him alive, then. They should do Canada versus U.S. Not, you know what I mean, like the superstars.
They do. It's called the Olympics.
No. Are they all playing in the Olympics?
Yeah. They did last time, in 2014, when we won gold.
But the Americans didn't even come in second.
No. And in exactly. 2010, in 2010 we played them and we beat them in the final.
Was Kane on that team? No.
Yeah, the American team, yeah, it was.
In 2010?
Yeah.
Well, he was like 16 then.
No.
No, how old is Patrick Kane now?
He was like 22, 20, 19.
So Patrick Kane right now, you're telling me he's like 26 already?
He's like 25.
He's still pretty young.
He's very young. Dude, we had the World Cup of Hockey in Toronto in the summer.
It makes you think why we got spanked so hard the last juniors.
We put a bad team on the ice.
Case closed, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, next one now. Epic.
Yeah.
The UFC got a shellacking.
Did you watch it?
I did.
Mm-hmm.
So, Holly Holm, which had the belt, lost to, what's her first name?
Misha Tate.
And then, Diaz beat McGregor. Also, McGregor had the championship belt. Mm-hmm. So now, in one night, very big underdogs beat...
Catch. It was in a title fight, though.
It wasn't a title fight. Yeah. My bad. So, there's a lot of... Okay, where can we start on this? There's just so much to talk about.
Okay, so we'll start with the Holly Holm fight. Apparently, Dana White came out and said that Holly Holm shouldn't take this fight.
Yes.
That it's not a good fight for her because she's a counterfighter and Misha Tate doesn't really attack.
Yes.
That whole fight Holly Holm had. Yeah. Like she had the fight.
Yeah.
Like, Misha Tate had the one good submission attempt in the first round.
Yeah.
Or second. Was that her second?
Second
or
round. Second
yeah.
Round.
It beginning didn't work out. Good defense by Holly Holm. But other than that, everything looked to go Holly Holm. And then, sure enough...
Choked her out.
Yeah.
Now...
Then, I guess the inevitable happened for Holly Holm. I don't know. It was dumb. Dana White was saying, wait till Ronda comes back.
No.
Or don't take Misha.
No. Holly Holm is very stupid. Because in the sport of mixed martial arts, you have to be very competitive, but you also have to be very smart, very logistically smart. Ronda Rousey deserves a title shot, rematch. You as now champion should not frivolously throw it away on any Joe Schmo that comes. Misha Tate lost twice to Ronda Rousey.
Mm-hmm.
Thus, Holly Holm should have waited for her rematch. They would have got a shitload of money.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have been online. Now, Holly Holm would have had Rousey on her back in the sense where she has to come out and win. Now, doing this, look at how the UFC put themselves in such a shit position. Misha Tate lost twice to Ronda Rousey. So to do a third match would be useless.
They're going to. They're going to have to.
They're going to have to. Now, if Ronda Rousey were to go against Holly Holm now, the advantage for Rousey to win now is like super humongous because she realized that she got choked out, Holly Holm, and Ronda Rousey's a submissionist master.
Yep.
So, clearly, the UFC got completely destroyed with that arrogant asshole move.
Well, I don't know. It's one of those things like Ronda has to kind of rebuild herself. The big thing with the fighter, we've lost the skittle. But
No. I'll salvage it, even if it goes in the mud.
The thing with Rousey, she's an aggressive fighter. Holly Holm's a counter fighter. She beat her on every regard, counter fighting. Ronda Rousey dominated Tate both times.
So where does that leave the UFC?
I wouldn't give Ronda Rousey a title shot right away. She got beat brutally, I would go and do a rematch again.
No, I disagree completely.
You throw her right into a title fight?
Of course, she deserves it, man. She had the title for, like, forever.
Okay, but you just lost. What about because... the person who's on a win streak and you were sitting?
Okay, wait, but what about if she goes against Holly Holm now? That Holly Holm has nothing to her name and Ronda Rousey loses again.
But why is it that every fighter that pretty much has the belt loses and almost gets a rematch right away? Why shouldn't Holly Holm get the rematch right away?
Because she didn't deserve it. She literally only had the title for one fight.
And it was a short turnaround, too. Like, the Ronda Rousey fight happened, what, like November?
Exactly.
Yeah, so, no, I know what you're saying. I'm just saying.
But this is the biggest problem the UFC has now. There is no other female fighter that could make things interesting other than Ronda Rousey. Misha Tate is not interesting. She's not a very good fighter. She's one of those, she'll get a lucky shot. Holly Holm should have won that.
Okay. She was winning the fight.
Problem is, she started to slow down. She got careless. She got sloppy. She got choked out. Mm-hmm. Now, Misha Tate is known for this. She's not a striker. She's a submissionist. Against Ronda Rousey, she did nothing of the sort because Ronda Rousey, in her own respect, is a submissionist. Mm-hmm. This is why I think the UFC now has the very, very, very big problem in the women's division, because there is no real fight that can make them money. If Misha Tate still has the title when Ronda Rousey comes back and they do something stupid like do a title defense right away, Ronda Rousey is going to beat her, nothing fancy, and then now Ronda Rousey has no competition. Mm-hmm. Holly Holm is going to come back, she's going to get killed.
Yeah.
Like, really, she shouldn't have even won to begin with. You know what I mean? It was a lucky kick to Rousey's face because Rousey got arrogant.
Rousey was getting beat. Like, she was getting punched all over the
place. I wouldn't say she was getting beat.
Her face was a punching bag for Holly Holm that fight. Like, it was just all... After watching it, I was like, she didn't even look ready.
That fight reminded me of George St. Pierre when he fought against...
Matt Serra.
Where George St. Pierre had a bit of an arrogant attitude.
Yeah.
And Ronda had
the same. He got the rematch right away, and then he dominated him.
So that's what I'm saying.
I know, but I don't like it. Like, I feel like if you lose, you should kind of reset it.
You reset yourself, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to do what they got to do to get views and money, right?
All
right.
Now, this, in all respect, I think McGregor's arrogant for even doing this fight. Because, first of all, he had to gain weight to go up to Diaz's level. Mm-hmm. So that's the first problem, because Diaz is comfortable where he fights. He's not a very good fighter. Okay? Nick Diaz is not a good fighter. But McGregor had something to prove. Now, according to speculations, is George St. Pierre went to watch this UFC. And everyone knows, at least the journalists say, if McGregor had beat Diaz, apparently George St. Pierre was going to come out of retirement to fight him. Mm-hmm. Now, this caused up such a stir, everyone was backing up McGregor because they really want to see George St. Pierre come back. Now, this is what happened. He got choked out. He got submitted.
Yeah.
So now, where does that put McGregor? He's going to go back down to his level, and now Jose Aldo, which shouldn't have said anything, called him up and just nailed him for that. So I don't know. What the hell is UFC going to do now?
I love Conor McGregor. And I love
that. I don't. He ruined him.
No, man. Yeah. Think about it. Who else do you know that's gone up two weight classes on short notice and took a fight like that?
It's stupid, though. He got killed.
Yeah, but what does it matter? He's not a welterweight. He's a lightweight and featherweight.
It matters because now he went into a league where he wasn't comfortable.
That's okay. The fight was just a fight, really. There was nothing to it. It was a super fight.
In the UFC, nothing is just a fight.
What gain or what has McGregor lost? He's still champion.
McGregor lost the fact that...
But the invincibility, the win streak, yes. Exactly. Understandable. But when he goes back to his division, he's going to be more comfortable. He's going to be walking in at a higher weight because he's going to cut weight to be into it. Right? And McGregor was winning the fight. The difference was Diaz can take a punch.
Like a brick wall.
Yeah.
That's why.
So it's not like McGregor went in and was doing terribly. He had the fight. The problem was Diaz can take a serious punch, and Conor McGregor not being comfortable at his weight, his punches weren't as heavy. Right? You got to think, he cuts weight to be in a featherweight and lightweight. He walks in at the fight at a much higher weight. So when you're getting punched with that weight behind him, it's much heavier shots.
Now, in McGregor's respect, he can also take a punch. Because Nick Diaz did give him a couple good shots.
Yeah.
However, he looked very sluggish towards the end, McGregor. Out of steam.
Yeah.
And Diaz, of course, jumped on it. This is sometimes where I think the arrogance takes over. Two champions in the UFC that represent the UFC mm-hmm. both lost. To like literally no one fights. Like these are nobody fights these fights.
Yeah.
Because they're silly. So now my question is, are they missing a superstar? Because really, John Bone Jones is not coming back.
Yeah, he's back. He has his fight with Cormier. It's a rematch. It's coming up. The next big pay-per-view.
How come I didn't hear nothing about it?
That's all they've been talking about.
Is that on the list?
No.
Okay, let's talk about it now. So when is the fight?
I don't know. I didn't prepare. It's in a couple weeks or months.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't hear nothing about it.
Yeah, he's back. That's the big fight that they're going for. Cormier versus Bones.
Now imagine if he loses.
No, he loses.
No, the UFC is man crying all the way to the bank that they don't now have anymore.
That's the thing, man. Like, the UFC is a different sport now.
What does that mean?
It's not what it used to be.
What it used to be?
Amazing. Think about it.
Oh, yeah,
they don't have the superstars.
Now Chuck Liddell.
There's so many pay-per-views, and it's so watered down. Before, you get amazing pay-per-views all the time. Mm-hmm. Now it's every other week there's a UFC event. It lost its lust. It became too, not popular, but it came too hard to follow because it was all the time.
Well, you got
to
think about it. 3 years ago, they did UFC 100.
200 in few months as well.
So only in a few years, they did over 200. Literally, 200 events. That becomes way too saturated.
Plus fight nights. They started doing that fight night on Fox and all that stuff.
The Ultimate Fighter and all that other garbage.
Just became ridiculous.
All right. What's the next point?
Next one we got. Blue Jays are 9-1 in the group Grapefruit League. This looks good and positive, but regular season will be the real test, especially with the Blue Jays' last season playoff run. MLS has kicked... quick headline as well. MLS has kicked off and TFC wins their first game 2-0 over the New York Red Bulls.
Nice.
I'm up with the next one, sir.
All right. Okay.
We just ripped through those two headlines.
Yeah, well, there's really nothing too interesting about them. Now, for everyone that knows Talk of the Game, and if you've been following us, you know, thank you, God bless. One thing that you know about us is we're very big on soccer. Football, right? I don't know how I want to take this because, like I said, I'm always big a Ronaldo fan. So I think this could be a little embellished, but we'll just go with it. Doctors say Messi played 3 games with kidney stones. Bull. You know why, bull? My father-in-law has kidney stones. And if you have kidney stones, you're not walking.
Yeah, it's very painful.
So, the fact they played 3 games with kidney stones?
Yeah, that was the headline. I don't know.
What do you think about it? Possible?
With that guy, anything's possible. Like, he literally is...
Invincible?
Yes.
You think so?
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about your buddy now.
Jose Mourinho has come out and says he won't coach till July.
You know why? What? Because no teams have told him that they want him yet.
But if he's saying he won't coach, that means that basically he's going to have a team lined up. He's going to come in once the season starts. Because there's so much speculation that he's going to be coaching Manchester United.
Like, no, but why July, though?
Because that's when the season ends, right? The season stops. They're probably going to let Van Gaal go right at the end of the season. Then they'll announce, what's his name? Jose Mourinho is going to be the king and savior of United till that goes sour. And they fire him because they'll never replace Sir Alex Ferguson.
Okay, so let's say... Manchester United is the number one team. Is there any other team that might be in the picture?
Manchester United. Manchester United.
Oh, no one else?
It doesn't seem that way. Like, there was talk about Inter, but I don't think he's going to be going back to Inter.
No, not back there. He already started there.
Yeah, he'll go to United. It just makes the most sense. Like, I can give you a list of 4 potential teams. They all start with M.
All end in United?
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Exactly it.
Go up to paper. I can't see nothing.
Yeah, the notes are not showing.
Okay. No, you missed it. Go for it.
Leicester City looks set to win the Premier League.
Holy shit.
It's going to be a big joke if they do. If they win every Premier League team, it's just going to be like, shame on you. How do you let them win?
Now, are they that good? Do they have superstars
on there? I don't think it's that good. It's just everyone else has been so bad.
Do they have any superstars on there?
What, Jamie Vardy? Good. Mahers? Danny Drinkwater. How about that one?
So then how the hell are they in first?
They're playing better than everyone else.
Okay, good. Is there any notable coach to mention?
Ranieri, Claudio Ranieri. Remember Ranieri?
Oh, yeah.
He is a coach.
No way. I'm sure he has no real reason. Well, who's the goalie? Anyone I would know?
You know Peter Schmeichel?
Yeah.
His kid.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
So he must be a pretty good goalie then.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, you know what? Good for them. Is this their first Premier League championship?
I think so.
Mamma mia for the Premier League. Holy, they have to turn it around. That's good. That's like a laughing
for real, situation. Man.
Okay. Now, my good Italian friend. I don't like Juventus, but anyway. Juventus have a tough test of the season approaching as Juve faces off against Bayern Munich in the second league in Munich. What second league? What happened with the first one?
They tied 2-2, but Bayern has two away goal advantage.
So they need to score at least two. Just to tie. No.
Juve needs to either... Juve can either win outright,
yeah,
or they have to hope if the game goes 2-2 again.
Yeah.
They, like, they if need they, to score. If they need to draw, if they're going to draw, so let's say it goes 3-3.
Yeah. They win.
Bayern wins, because although they have the same total score...
They have like, 3 goals up.
They have 2 away goals, which count as more.
Which count as more. No, but... Yeah. But...
So essentially...
No, but Juve would have 3 away goals, though.
No, because the game...
If it's 3-3. If it's 3-3, they would have...
No, I'm talking about aggregate score. So if they mean... Like, sorry, my bad. You're right.
Yeah.
So if the game ends 1-1 in Germany, Bayern would go through.
Yeah, because they have 2.
Yes.
So they would have to actually do 3-3 or just win outright.
Win outright. So it's a little bit of a tricky situation
for Juve. But they are playing at home.
Bayern's playing at home. Juve's playing away. So it can go either way. You know the Champions League. These are memorable
moments.
What do you
think?
I think Bayern will go through. I think it will be either a tie or Bayern will just win.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
How did that... Did you watch the first game?
No. I wanted to.
Did you see the highlights? I didn't see the highlights.
I saw the highlights. And? I wanted to. I had a friend that was at the game.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah. He said it was the best experience he's ever had.
I'm sure of it.
Right. I wanted to watch a game, though, but my brother and I decided to watch the Arsenal game.
Arsenal against...
Barcelona.
Oh, okay. I wonder, why did you pick that one?
It's Arsenal. I don't know. We like the Premier League.
Oh, okay. All right, so what happened in that one? Read the next point.
Yeah, so Arsenal looked to have a big game against Barcelona in the Champions League, but they really don't have a chance. Let's be serious here.
Not against Barcelona.
No.
Like, really, no real team has a chance against Barcelona, so
to
speak.
No. Maybe Bayern. Maybe. Not really, though. No one,
really, yeah.
You just gotta hope you catch Barcelona on an off day.
Yeah.
But right now, they don't look
like... They don't look off day.
Even their off days, they look still like Barcelona, so...
That's ridiculous. They're always gonna be really good, I think.
Yeah, it looks
like... Because they have the money to back it up, right?
Yeah. Well, that's what winning does. It helps.
Winning! So did Charlie Sheen. We know how that happened.
Hey, man, don't you talk bad about the Tiger blood.
Joey Bats backs Bryce Harper... For the need of more emotion in baseball, we give our thoughts. My thoughts is that's a very stupid comment to make.
No, man. Baseball is a gentleman's sport. Can't really do anything. Like, the bat flip was a huge issue.
Why?
See? Because it's too much emotion. Baseball is supposed to be very respectful. Almost like golf, a gentleman's game.
Okay.
This new,
that's,
younger...
That's dumb.
And it's funny, because you asked the older generation... What they think of the bat flip, they hated it. You ask the younger generation to understand the emotion and swagger and all this stuff, and it's an issue. Or it's not an issue.
How did you feel about it?
So it'll be interesting to see what happens. They need more emotion. That's what the sport's all about.
Well, they have to, because baseball isn't how it used to be.
No.
Now there's a lot of conflict with the NBA and NHL and all that.
If baseball is very popular amongst older generation, the way to get the young involved is having emotion and making it exciting again.
It's like soccer. The World Cup brought in 1.8 billion views.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl did 300 million.
Well, you can't compare the two. One's played literally around the world.
No, you can't compare soccer with anything. Now, baseball clearly has died off a bit, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are still some diehard fans, of course, but
It's very popular still, but...
Joey Bats, Jose Bautista... He's a very good player in his own respect, but Toronto did something that I think was needed. Like, you need to have emotion. I know it's a gentleman's sport, but it's not polo, for God's sakes.
Even Bryce Harper, he has a swagger to him, and people don't like it.
Bryce Harper's not a very good player.
Yeah, he's an amazing player.
Not compared to Jose Bautista.
He's better than Jose Bautista.
I don't think so.
I 100%. Bryce Harper's amazing. He's like 23, too. He's half the age of Batista, almost.
Batista's good. Like, really good. And to the point where if you're in a pinch, he'll do it.
Yeah, but he's not that good. He's decreasing. He's older, man. He's getting old.
Bryce Harper is the future. He's no Sammy Sosa.
Nobody's no Kenny Griffin Jr.
No, Kenny Griffin Jr., yeah. He was epic. See, that's what I mean. In baseball, they're missing these big names.
They have them. Josh Donaldson had a hell of a year last year.
Hell of a year. I'm talking about...
Miguel Cabrera has had several good years.
He's no Derek Jeter. I'm talking about the Derek Jeters of the game.
Mike Trout, unbelievable.
You're missing what I'm saying.
The Derek the big Jeters. Names.
No, not the big names. The big consecutive names that they're always good.
Yeah, but Mike Trout's been good for the last like 4 years since he's entered the league.
Not great.
He was the MVP. He won the MVP for the All-Star game.
Griffey Jr.
You know what I'm saying? Unbelievable, Mike Trout. He was, again, to be the MVP of the season last year. He was next to Donaldson.
Do you think the baseball lacks the big names like football does and soccer and hockey?
No, they still have it.
I don't see you wearing any baseball jerseys.
Yeah, I do. I have a Donaldson jersey.
You never wear it.
Because I wear it to baseball games.
But you'll wear an NHL jersey anywhere else.
No, I don't. I never wear my NHL jersey unless I'm going to a game.
Really?
Yeah, the only jerseys I ever wear when I go out are soccer jerseys. Because you can wear them as a t-shirt. Or a basketball jersey when I go to...
Yeah, you can't wear an NHL jersey as a t-shirt. Yeah.
Like when you go to the beach, you wear a basketball jersey. Like I have my Kyle Lowry jersey.
Yeah, I guess so. All right. I'll give you that one. Get the notes up. I can't see nothing again.
That was the last note.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, guys. I don't know. It's bittersweet for me.
Yeah.
I really like Talk of the Game. I have a good time.
It was a good episode, and I'm happy we recorded it. But then it's also that down where this might be one of the last episodes. We have one more for sure.
One more for sure, and then that's kind of like as far as it goes. So, You know, guys, we love you guys very much, and we respect everyone that's listened to us and follow us. And you know who you are. Mm-hmm. It's not a farewell just yet because we do have one more.
It's not
hurrah.
A farewell. It's a so long. Is that what they say? Is that famous thing?
A so long or a... Yeah, kind of like a see you later.
Yeah, it's not
but we will definitely see you again because we have our last episode that we're going to do for sure. Mm-hmm. And then in the future, who knows what it'll hold. But in the meantime, as always, when you go to a bar, use what we've taught you and be very educated in sports.
Or don't use it at all. We're just a podcast. What do we know? Thanks for listening.